knew what I'm capable of. There's nobody in this room cannot be used. Now, you may not be able to do what others can do, but you can do something for the Lord. Amen? Okay. Anybody have a question about anything real quick? Anybody have a question, maybe something you saw? Right now we have, I think we have over 200 Bible students. And we don't just let anybody come. We try to vet them and still. We try to keep the bad ones out, but sometimes they get in. And one of these days, you'll probably see me locked up in prison for killing a college student. Hey, that's not funny, okay? So, but we have that, and then we have about 110 in our Bible Institute. God's just opened up a door for a lot of other churches that want their people to be trained. Okay? Anybody have a question? Thank God for that. Okay, yes. That's probably it's probably about their fourth language. Most Filipinos know about four or five languages. And that kills me because I think they're speaking Cebuano, and they add Tagalog, Ilonggo, Ilocano, and I think, man, I don't know nothing now. I mean, it's just so mixed. So, but they do understand English if you go slow. My wife's fluent in Cebuano. She's fluent. But her husband's not. Okay? So, but they do sing that, and they do sing other songs. But that's a good question right there. Anybody else have a question?
What's the update number on the Saturday kids classes?
We're over about 3,000 now. And we want to get that up to about 3,500. I meet people all the time. They're like 30. We've been there 28 years, but they're 35. And they say, I used to go to one of y'all's classes. And we can't bring them all to church, but we do go with them. It's amazing. Catholic moms, we'll go there and put a little mat down and we invite them, and the Catholic moms will get their kids all cleaned up and you got to go to the Bible class. Now, they won't let them come to our church, but they'll let them go to that Bible class. Yeah. Amen? And some of those mothers sit in the back and listen to the gospel. Amen? So we want to do more. I think we got about 38 different groups right now. And we have a lot of teenagers that are involved in that, and even little children. So it's been good to getting people involved. So that's a big ministry. And let me tell you this, I didn't even think about the school ministry. We could get in every school if we had the manpower. I don't know what we have this year because it's just getting it started, but the last year I think we'd have like about 5,000 to 6,000 students. And we go in the classroom and teach it like a Sunday school class. And we go in there for like 2 or 3 months. And then after that, we start doing the invitation. Because I believe if a little child, and I believe if anybody hears the gospel and understands it, they will say yes, especially little children. Amen? And so, it's just wide open everywhere you want to go. Anybody have a question? Anybody else here? Yes.
How do you do so many classes?
We have a lot of people helping us. And what we do with our Bible college, we do not use our Bible college to build our church. We believe our church ought to build the Bible, build the church. And we do something with students. I'll tell you what we do with the students. We send them home on the weekends. They have to be at our church one time a month so they can observe things. We send them home. Two reasons. I want their church and their pastor to keep their heart. Not me.
That's good.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
I've been to Bible college. Okay, but we want their church to use them. And we don't keep anybody. But I keep Bible students. So So I send them home for a reason, okay? But so in our Bible college, the one ministry that they're involved in our school ministry. So they may go teach, somebody go teach this one, and then they'll do it about 45 minutes, then they'll go to another one, and then they'll go to another one. We have a bunch of people helping us. It's one of the greatest mission fields because they have to be in class. Sometimes principals call us. Are you listening? They call us and want to know if we can come and help. And some of them let us do parenting classes. Are you listening? So that's a blessing too. Okay, maybe one or two more questions. Real quick, anybody? Yes, sir. It's an open country. God's blessed that country.
With it being so open, is there any major challenges that hold you back from anything? Or?
I'll tell a little bit later. We were told not to go to our city by a number of missionaries because of the Muslim situation. I'll talk about that in a little bit. So that's, but it's no problem right now. We've been there 28 years. Okay, so I'll talk about that a little bit, real quick. Anybody else? Good questions. The little boy had his own hand up, but I don't know. Okay, anything else, real quick? Okay, let me give you something. If you turn your Bibles real quick to Acts chapter number 16. Acts number 16. I'm glad to be here. I don't know everybody that's. I know you came about 4 years ago. 8 years ago? Okay. So, okay. And then, who else? Matt, where's Matt at? Matt, did you see on the video, did you see June Flores? Did you see him on the video? There was a guy on the video, and he only comes about once every 3 or 4 months. And he got saved 10 years ago, but never really got plugged in. And we work on him, work on him. Him and another guy went to visit him, and since they visit him, he's there. I was telling him, he only misses Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and he's there all the other times. He's being discipled now. He's going soul winning now. It's amazing. He was saved 10 years ago. You know what? You can't give up on people. Now look here. If this guy, I don't know. If this guy's truly saved, I don't know, okay? But if he's saved, the Spirit of God's living in him. There's something there that you can build on.
Right. Right.
So if it's something there, we ought to work on it and build something on it. Because the Spirit of God is living in their hearts. And God can work on them, whatever I say. And so he was on there. That's amazing. But if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles just a moment to, and I've seen Matt, him, and there's another guy here. Hester. Where's Hester at? Okay. Just do not send him back, okay? No. Send him back. We got some Muslim towns that would love to meet him. Okay? So you come next time. I won't take you there, but I'll have somebody take you. Okay. Look in your Bibles real quick. Okay. In Acts chapter number 16, real quick. You know the story here. And I'm just going to share some things. I may not even give you a message tonight. May just give you a few little things. But Acts chapter 16, here's Paul. And God gave him a vision. Let me say this tonight. You and I don't need visions now. We don't need dreams. But see, they didn't have the Bible like we do. We don't need a vision when you have a verse. And some people want a vision because they don't want to do what the verses say. Are you listening? Have you ever had a dream? and you think, thank God that was a dream. And you wake up and you say, thank God. Lord, thank you, that was a dream. But then you have dreams and you think, boy, I wish that was true. Okay, God gave him a vision. And he saw a man say, come over and help us. Let me say this tonight. There's a people, your neighbor. You don't know it. You can't hear them. People you work with. I need your help. I need your help. They're everywhere. You don't have to go to the mission field and find them. They're everywhere. Did you know people all around you, they're going to hell. You work with somebody. Tomorrow when you go to work, you look at them and you think, he's going to be either in heaven or hell. And Lord, you help me. Lord, you help me to reach this guy. It may only be a track. God can use a track. Amen. He said, come over and help us. Look at this. The Bible says in verse number 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And help us. Come and help us. Wow, that's what the world's saying. They won't say it to you, but they're empty. The world is empty. I don't care how much money they have in their billfold, their bank, they're empty. Now you listen to me carefully. Sometimes somebody's got a lot of money, we're intimidated by them. Stop looking at their silver and look at their soul. And you know why a lot of upper class are going to hell? We're afraid of them. Does that person really want to go to hell? He doesn't want to go to hell. Does God want them to go to hell? No. You know why they're going to hell? Maybe somebody's never given them the gospel. That's what it's all about giving out the gospel. And once you start giving out the gospel, don't ever stop. Are you listening? But we get intimidated by them. Oh, he said, come over and help. Look at verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, we endeavored, immediately. Let me tell you this, when God wants you to do something, do it now. If you don't now, it's harder later. You know the best time to start tithing? When you first get saved. If you don't do it when you start getting saved, you probably never will. If you don't do it the first 6 months or the first year, you probably never will. If you don't start witnessing when you first get saved, you probably never will. I'm just telling you. Obey the Lord immediately. He said, come over and help us. And they went over immediately. Look at the rest of this. And the Bible says here, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You know this? We can see a couple of things. The Lord wants to lead us. He wants to lead us. And the Lord wanted to lead them over into Macedonia. He wants to lead us tonight. But you know what? We let the world lead us. We let the world tell us what to do. We let the world tell us how to live. We let the world and the devil himself, and sometimes even worldly Christians, we let them lead us. God wants to lead us. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to lead us by using this book. Let this book lead you. Because when you let this book read you, you're going in the right direction. You're going in the right direction. You don't have to question about it. This is what the Lord says. Let the Lord lead us. Not even wrong friends, not even Christians. Let me say this tonight. Follow your shepherd. Your shepherd's right here. We get on the internet and we hear this preacher. Man, this guy's preacher. And you get all you think about is this preacher on the internet or whatever. That's great, but he's not your shepherd. And you start listening to him. You come to church and you start comparing your pastor with that person on the internet. Follow your shepherd. Because you know what? You start comparing your pastor with other pastors, he may compare you with other Christians and other members. Follow your shepherd. The Lord wants to lead us. He wanted to lead them over into Macedonia. And he said, come and help us. Come and help us. I want you to see something else real quick. Look at verse number. God wants to lead us. And he led them to the lost. Verse 14 talked about Lydia. And she got saved. Look at verse 15. And when she was baptized, she got saved. And I'm telling you tonight, if I'll follow the Lord, you know what he's going to do? He's going to lead me to sinners. They're everywhere. Look on the field. The white are ready to harvest. If you look on the field, you don't have time to look on other members. Let me make it say, if you get your eyes on the field, you won't be looking at each other. You won't be looking what he's doing or what he's not doing. You won't be looking, oh, they're not in church and this and this. You know what? When you get your eyes on each other, that tells me you're not looking on the field. But if we get in the field, you won't have time to worry about somebody else. If I get my eyes on this person's going to hell, that daddy's going to hell, that mama's going to hell, and all those teenagers and those kids, they're going to hell. I'm focused on that. And why would I be focused on you and you and you and your problems? You listen to me. Look on the field. For the white already the harvest. You know what? If we'll follow the Lord, he'll lead us to. Peter and them? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And they followed them over to Macedonia and Philippi. And guess what? People got saved. Are you listening? Oh, something else we create. God leads us to the lost. If we do right, we'll be persecuted. You know why they were really persecuted? Because they were giving out the gospel. Remember they were putting Philip in jailer? Remember that guy? Not a very good guy? Oh, but when God changes his heart, he becomes a better guy. Amen. Did you know you can go to work and you can live for Christ? And you can do this and there's no persecution. But when you start talking about Christ, you can talk about religion, you can talk about this, you can talk all kinds of things, but when you talk about Christ, boy, that's when persecution comes. The devil don't care until we start reaching other people with the gospel. Amen? Yea, and all that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's okay. Listen, if you're persecuting me, that's okay. You know, your persecution is going to bless me. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and so all evil things against you. Listen to me. Don't be afraid of persecution. Amen. And else real quick. If we do right, we're going to be persecuted. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Come over to Macedonia. And you know what? Those two ladies got saved. And not only that, flipping jailer. They were beaten. But you know what? When they were beaten, guess what they did? When they were beaten, they kept a good testimony. If somebody lies about you, that's okay. Somebody says stuff about you, this and that. Hey, give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Let me say this. If you haven't been offended at this church, First Baptist Church, yet, you know what that tells me? You don't go to church very often. Well, somebody at the church, they offended me. Ladies, let me ask you a question. Well, at that church, that person said this and said that. Let me ask you, ladies, has your husband ever offended you? No? Okay, great. Okay. Men, has your wife ever said anything that offended you? But we want everybody at church to be perfect. You know why? We're not looking on the field. Amen. Oh, but the last thing real quick. keep salvation simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Look what it said in chapter 16, verse 31. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And you know what? We need to make sure we give them the right answer. When people have a desire to be saved, we need to give them the right answer. Right answer. Keep it simple. You say, how simple it is. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Wow. If anybody enter in, you're either outside or you're inside. And Christ is the door. And he's not a piece of wood. The door is the entrance. People can understand that. You say, I don't know how to explain the gospel. I'm the door. I'm the door. You know why he's the door? He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He died for me. He rose again the third day. He is the door. And the difference between being lost and saved is the door. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. We don't need something new. I think it was Curtis Hudson said this. He said this. People say, oh, Americans are gospel hardened. No, they're not. They're gospel ignorant. Talk to them. They don't know anything about the gospel. I heard somebody tell me this. Somebody said this. Oh, brother, sister, you need to send Filipinos to America to be missionaries. I said, no, we don't. I said, you know what we need? We need the Christians in America to become missionaries. We have enough people to reach the world. We have enough people to reach America. We have enough. Did you know this church is a soul winning church? And you know what? Because you're a soul winning church, you stand out. You're different. You shouldn't be different. Everybody should be doing it. Everybody should be doing it. And they're not. Oh, that's just a little thing. Let's keep salvation. Let me say this. We'll talk a little bit about the Philippines. 7,700 islands. It's about 120 different languages, 120 million people. Where we're at, Mindanao, southern part of the Philippines, the most southern part as you can get. We're on the southern island, and we're on the southern part of that island. Now, if you're northern, don't be offended. I've been a southerner all my life, okay? That's why I went to the southern part of the Philippines, okay? It's the furthest you can get. You can't get no further. But you know what? It's 120 million people, very poor. A lot of people live in a bamboo hut. A lot of them, all they only wash with, they wash by hand. Aren't you glad tonight you don't have to go and wash by hand and then hang it out? Most of those people never have a wash machine, never, never. Some have, but most of them don't have one. They're poor. Some of them live in bamboo huts. Bamboo huts. You know how you help the poor? Give them the gospel. And the Bible says the gospel ought to be preached to the poor. Amen? We reach a lot of poor people. We have some upper class, but we reach a lot of poor. We've done it different. We've reached the poor, and we give them the gospel of the poor. And you know what? Then God brought us people to help us reach the poor. He brought the upper class. He brought the upper class to help us to reach those. Did it opposite. People say, I want to reach the upper class so they'll help me. No, just take care of this. And he'll supply. He'll get somebody to help us supply. You saw our buildings. Let me just say this real quick. You saw our buildings. All of that is Filipino money. You saw our gym. People say, I want to help you. I said, no, we're going to do it. Money can corrupt missions. They built it. It's theirs. Their heart's there. We have a Bible college. They come free. Who supports it? Mount Calvary Baptist Church, our church. That may be different. Not everybody can do that, but we've done that. The more we give, the more God gives. The more they invest. Are you listening? You can't outgive the Lord. You can't do it. Let me give you this first thing. We were told not to go to General Santos City. There were bombings. There were kidnappings. When we pulled into this town, my wife cried when we entered that town. She didn't want to be there. When you go there now, hey, we're uptown now. About 800,000 people. All they had there when we got there is one Dunkin' Donut. And the kids said, where are we going? Dunkin' Donut. We go out again. Where are we going? Dunkin' Donut. We hate Dunkin' Donuts now. For years and years, hey, for years and years, guess what my kids did? They prayed. They didn't pray for souls. They prayed for McDonald's. Maybe they were praying for McDonald's to get saved. I don't know, okay? They were praying for McDonald's. I don't think they were praying for his salvation, but they were praying for it, okay? We've learned now. We have McDonald's. Wow, we have a Burger King now. We have town. We don't have to come back anymore. I come back here. Somebody said, where do you want to go to eat? Let's go to Taco Bell. Taco Bell? Hey, if you've been in the Philippines, you will love Taco Bell. Okay? Listen, we were told not to go there. My wife cried all night. I wanted to cry. Lord, this can't be the town. We told everybody, God led us to General Santos. Maybe I was just saying that. But after about 3 days, God put our hearts there. There's not a greater place on the face of the earth. No greater place. No greater place. You know why? If you were God wants you to be, he will prepare your heart. You may not like it right now. See, people are afraid to follow the Lord. People are afraid to just follow the Lord. Hey, it may be a little bit of hardship, a little bit of difficulty, but if you get there, God will give you happiness where you're at. He'll give you contentment. We were told not to go there. We started giving out tracts and witnessing. We started just a little building. I gave that philosophy. If we'll get the people, God will give us a place. That's what we've always done. If we had that small building, that's okay with me. I didn't go there to build buildings. But you got to have buildings if you're going to reach people. I told about her, we got about 28 different Sunday school classes now. We built our church on the Sunday school. And we need to start some more. I didn't go there to build. I say this often. I didn't go there to build a big church. I went there to reach a big city. And what we started 28 years ago, we're still doing. Because sometimes we can start out doing something right, but years and years later, we get away from why we started. Are you listening? We got to keep what we started doing. So we started giving out tracts and witnessing. We had just a small building. And for about the last year or so, we had to move to our gym because we ran out of room. We've started about 8 churches within 20 minutes of our church. We try to get some of them to go to those churches. Especially for troublemakers, okay? I don't tell them why. You need to go help this guy. I mean, you got to go help this guy. And sir, you need this member. I don't tell him why, okay? Okay? And so, but you know what? We're not trying to build a big church, but we are trying to reach people. Because you can't be, God's blessed our church. I tell people this. I want the touch of God on our ministry. I want the touch of God. I want the touch of God on what we're doing. And then, 25 years ago, we started the Bible Institute. Man, that's the craziest thing I ever did. I mean, I'm preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. I take 2 hours on Tuesday night and Thursday night and try to go and visit and try to have a family. That's not very smart, but we started it. And God's blessed it. And then 8 years ago, we started a Bible college, to train people to go into those towns, go back to their villages. See, if we bring them from the villages and we train them, it's a lot easier for them to go back. those in the city won't go, they won't go to the small towns. A lot of them won't go to the small towns. So it's good to bring them out of the mountains. And when they come, we have a dorm, they call it boot, they call it the barracks. And it's about like from here, about to the end of the building back there, and about this wide. We got 90 boys in that room. Bands. And they're about this far apart. You know what a bunk bed? There's first floor, second floor. And I told my wife, we need to put the third and fourth floor of bunk beds, okay? And we haven't done that yet, but we may have to do that, okay? But you know what? They come, they think they're in a five-star hotel. They think they're in a five-star hotel. If you see where they came from, most of them don't give up anything because they don't have anything. They don't have nothing. Oh, and you know, we started our Bible college. And you know what I've tried to do there? This is what I've tried to do. I've tried to put my life into great people. If you've seen our staff, they're up here and I'm down here. But I want to put my life into great people. You know what Jesus did? He put his life into those 12 disciples. Are you listening? If you're in this church, put your life. You say, I don't teach in this. There's people you can befriend. There's some people you can help. There's people you can sit with. There's somebody you can encourage. Put your life in the people. That's what life is. Life is putting your life into people. A guy told me this. He said, Brother Sisson, when you go down there, an old missionary by the name of Mel Brown, he's about 87 years old. He said, teach your people the tithes. Oh, they're poor. They're going to stay poor. The widow woman was poor. He said, teach them the tithe. You say, what's tithing? I told that guy I was thirsty earlier, and he put all kinds of water up here, okay? And I said, I don't need that much water, but he just kept bringing more water. This is not for me to drink, okay? Let me show you something real quick. We taught our people the tithe. We taught them the tithe. You say, what's tithing? When God gives you 10, as soon as he gives it to you, lay it aside. You say, but I got paid on Friday, and it's not till Sunday. Lay it aside and say, that's God's. And if you have an emergency, you don't go steal from God. Well, Pastor, I had an emergency, so I had to take this. Do you go to your neighbor and rob from them because you have an emergency? No, that's not yours. So what you do, as soon as God gives you 10, you give him 1. And then he'll bless this. But a lot of people do what they do. They keep this and spend this and spend. Oh, I only got 1 left. Oh, I got a tithe. Ah, no, you didn't tithe. The tithe is the first 10%. And if you'll learn to give it first, when you learn to give it first, you think, man, I still got 9 left. I still got 9 left. But when you spend all this and you only have 1, that's why it's hard to give. You got to learn to give it, right then. Because if you don't give it, God will remind you. And when he reminds you, you know why. You know why that problem came. Nobody has to tell you. There was a lady in our church, and she has a business, a sand and gravel business. And one of our members said, Pastor, we got to go see her. She's got all these problems. And I went there. I said, ma'am, what's wrong? She said, my engine in my dump truck, it blew up. Well, what happened? She said, I haven't been tithing. I said, ma'am, look here, ma'am. That's not, you can't always say that. Pastor, I know why that truck has a problem. Yeah. Nobody has to tell you. You know why the problems come. How many of you know I'm talking about? We teach them to tithe. Because when you learn to tithe, you go back and it seemed like God adds a few more. Because if you don't tithe, you're not going to have any money to give the missions. We teach our people to give the missions. We try to get everybody to give the missions. We have some poor ladies. There's a lady, she's poor. She's poor. Sometimes she brings me bananas. I would never refuse them from her. I don't need them, but she needs to give them to me. She gives about 50 cents to missions, but she has a little part. Some of them will give a dollar, $5, $10. Some will give a lot. You know why God blesses our church? Because we're trying to reach the world through missionaries. We have Missions Month in October. Our goal is to increase our missions giving by $500. That's our goal. We want to increase our missions giving by $500 per week. Per week. You know why God just keeps blessing our church? I heard somebody say this. You take care of God's big, 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 big world, and He'll take care of your little world. If you don't believe that, you try it. And you'll be amazed. Did you know, I believe God takes money and reveals Himself more through money than anything you do in life. Sometimes it's daily. Sometimes it's weekly. Are you listening? Look what God did. Look what God did. I tell our people, if you'll learn to give, it will destroy covetousness in your life. If you learn to give, you won't want what everybody else wants. You can be content. But see, the world out here, they get this and this and this, and guess what? They got to get something else. Why? Because their neighbor keeps buying new stuff. And so because their neighbor bought something new or a relative, they've got to buy it now. Amen? No. When you give, you're content. Our people don't hardly have anything. But you know what? We taught them to give. We taught them to give out the gospel. We taught them to give out the gospel. I'll tell you this story and I'm finished. I put it in a prayer letter recently. There's a man and his wife. We tried to get him to come. Couldn't get him to come. His friend tried to get him to come. Couldn't get him to come. So guess what he did? He brought his kids. They were probably 4 and 5. The Vacation Bible School. Finally, they got the mom and dad to come. This had been about 20 years ago. Mom and dad got saved, baptized. Later, their kids got saved. About 3 weeks ago, that young man, 20 years old, got dengue fever from mosquitoes. You say, what is that? That's internal bleeding. And that boy passed away. And he went to heaven. You know why? Somebody reached his mom and daddy. Somebody reached his mom and daddy. I didn't go to the Philippines to build church. By the way, I didn't go to the Philippines to come back and impress you. I usually don't come back to America. You say, why? Because I want to reach those people for Christ. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. Maybe across your street. Maybe across your office. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Let's keep helping people. He said, come over and help. What did Paul do? Did he do this for him? No, he gave him the greatest help in all the world. Help on how to be saved, escape hell, and live in heaven. Ever and ever and ever. Come over and help us. You don't have to go to the mission field to be used of God. You got to be on your street. Clinton is a mission field. Are you listening? You say they won't listen. You know why people don't listen? I'll tell you why they don't listen. Because we're not talking. If God can use me, he can use anybody. I'll tell you a story. This is the grace of God. You look at me, it's the grace of God. I grew up on a dairy farm. I don't miss the dairy farm. That's 7 days a week, from morning to past dark. Me and my brothers and stuff, we had water guns before they were ever sold in the stores, okay? They were milk guns until my daddy came. I grew up on a dairy farm. My dad, I was 14. My dad got saved 10 months before he got killed. I'm glad somebody helped my dad know how to be saved. My brother kept a praying. He kept a praying for his little brothers. I'm one of those little brothers. Well, my mom got remarried when I was 15. And then she moved out. Me and my brother, 20, and my brother, 13. I was 15. We lived by ourselves from the age of 15 until I was 19. No mama, no aunt, no uncle, no grandparent. My mom would come up and she'd clean the house and cook for us, and she'd leave about 4 o'clock every afternoon. I can count on my hands the time she stayed in our house from the age I was 15. Until I was 19. See, I didn't realize it at the time. It's a good thing I didn't realize it, because I would have pitied myself. But I look it out tonight. It's the grace of God Almighty. And if God can use me, he can use anybody. He can use anybody. Are you listening? Come over and help us. There's a lot of people around you saying that also. Let's pray. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd work.